the Public News Service Daily Newscast, September 29, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. The so-called conservative hostile takeover of a small progressive liberal arts college in Florida is seeing some resistance from ex-students and faculty. They developed and launched Alt New College.
The goal is preserving the traditional values it built as an online institution for academic freedom. Claiming one-third of faculty have left or been forced out, Alt New College is bringing back some of those instructors to teach online, free from political interference. Mary Ruiz is an alum who has served on the school's board since 2019. She was board chair when she resigned and is now an organizer of Alt New College.
We're most particularly concerned with subjects that concern the history of Black Americans, the intersection of science and politics, the study of gender, which includes women and other identities, and we feel it's a worthy subject of study since it includes more than half of humanity.
Some free courses, tutorials, and lectures are supported by donors. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been touting the success of the new college and is critical of a recent civil rights probe from the U.S. Department of Education into whether the school excluded or discriminated against qualified students with disabilities, kept them out of certain programs, or denied them financial aid. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Now from Reuters, a New York appeals court Thursday refused to delay Donald Trump's scheduled October 2 civil fraud trial after the former U.S. president accused the trial judge of wrongfully refusing to throw out most of the case. In a brief order, a five-judge panel of the appellate division, a mid-level appeals court in Manhattan, denied Trump's motion to postpone the trial. As the federal government nears a shutdown over a budget impasse in Congress, Wisconsin offices that help low-income individuals are worrying they'll have to stretch their programs.
Public policy analysts say safety net aid, such as the Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC, would feel the budget squeeze sooner rather than later. Brett White leads the Southwestern Wisconsin Community Action Program, which helps clients access WIC benefits. His office is nonpartisan, but he feels the work they do tends to get overlooked in public debates over government funding.
We are the transportation program for this neck of the woods and take people to dialysis treatments. I mean, we're big on that.
He says they've been preparing to try and keep services running, but notes some programs would eventually have to pause in a prolonged shutdown. Hard right House Republicans insist on a federal budget that includes deep cuts for social assistance. The group Opportunity Wisconsin has called out certain GOP members of the state's congressional delegation for not opposing the plan. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Public News Service. The coalition, known as Think Babies Michigan, has secured over $36 million in funding to offer grants to child care providers for infants and for toddlers.
Families with young children from across Michigan have joined the coalition to advocate for improvements in early childcare in terms of quality and affordability. But many of those care providers are struggling to keep their doors open. Sasha Klein with the Early Childhood Investment Corporation underscores the dire need for this funding from the Pritzker Children's Initiative.
Those child care providers increase the quality of care that they are able to offer families. It'll enable them to pay their staff a living wage for the work that they do and reimburse them as brain builders, which is the way we think of early learning staff.
The Think Babies Michigan Collaborative is made up of 30 groups and numerous parents. Klein says it intentionally prioritizes having parents co-lead and co-design the policy agenda setting process. For our Siddiqui reporting.
Think Babies Michigan aims, among other things, to increase access and enrollment in high-quality childcare and home visiting services. Meantime, a new report finds Virginia's long-term care facilities need improvement to better serve their residents.
AARP's Long-Term Care Services and Supports Scorecard ranks Virginia at 28th among states. While the state has ranked high in terms of affordability and access to long-term care, it scores lowest in safety and quality, as well as support for family caregivers. Jared Kalfi with AARP Virginia says nursing home financial transparency is one of several priorities the group will take up at the General Assembly next year.
Our nursing facilities, they largely operate with a lot of taxpayer money coming from Medicaid. And so the public has a right to know how that money is being spent and what's being dedicated to staffing and providing quality care versus what is going to profits and paying administrators and things like that.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Finally, our Natalie Romligon has a story that won't tickle the taste buds. West Virginia's contracts with a correctional services LLC called Aramic have come under scrutiny. That after a lawsuit filed by incarcerated residents alleging they were regularly served spoiled milk and undercooked or rotten meat.
Former criminal legal reform fellow at the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, Terry Castle, explains Aramark profits by cutting corners and then makes more money when people are forced to buy extra food from the prison commissary. Castle points out that when incarcerated people buy commissary items, the West Virginia Division of Corrections and Rehabilitation, or DCR, also rakes in cash.
Every time a person spends money buying food at the commissary, they get a 10% or 20% kickback.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.